السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقد قال الله تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, we continue with our discussion on taqwa. It is the month of Ramadan. The fasting in the month of Ramadan was prescribed for the sake of taqwa, and it is necessary that we should learn more and more about taqwa, so that we may become the beneficiaries of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat, His mercy, His forgiveness, rizq, plenty of barakat in one's rizq, the removal of problems and difficulties and hardships, all these type of benefits which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has promised in taqwa, we may become the beneficiaries of. I explained last week that in these times, in these days, it is extremely easy for us to adopt taqwa. It is not something that is an exclusive domain of the very, very pious and very holy people, those who were born walis. In our times, with regards to each and every action of ours, if we find a reputable mufti, a person who will not be bought off by material wealth, he will not be influenced by any kind of environment or anything else. Furthermore, his own actions and his own deeds, even though they may be not in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah, but he is not going to give you a fatwa which will be just accommodating his own weakness. If you find a mufti of that kind and he gives you a fatwa that your business transaction in a certain manner is according to the Sharia, or in any other aspect of our life he gives a fatwa and a ruling, then that fatwa of our time, that is the taqwa of our time. How simple and easy. On the day of Qiyamah, then we can say that we made our effort to look for the reputable person and we asked him this fatwa and he gave us that fatwa, so that is the taqwa. That is how simple and easy it is. Nevertheless, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one sahabi, Hazrat Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala an, he asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for nasihat and for advice. Now Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always giving advice, he was always giving nasihat. What else was he doing besides explaining what is in the Quran Sharif, whatever had been revealed to him? Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was explaining the Quran Sharif, and his way of life, it was an example for the people to follow. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which word of his was not an advice for the ummah? But yet this sahabi asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, awsini. O Nabi of Allah, give me some wasiyat, give me some nasihat. It shows that this trend which we have, or many people have, of seeking from the Ahlullah, from the walis of Allah, from the pious and the righteous ones, from the mashayikh, they say, give me some nasihat, give me some nasihat. Then although there's so much of nasihat, but still something specific for that person, for that occasion, that is what is meant when this sahabi is asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for special nasihat. For example, one sahabi came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for nasihat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, la taghdab, don't get angry. When he asked him for the second time again, he said the same thing, don't get angry. The third time again, he told him the same thing. Now does it mean the whole Quran and Sunnah and Hadiths and everything, there's nothing else left there except one thing, and that is that don't get angry? No, what it meant was that for that particular sahabi, probably he had a short temper, and we know that that was the period of tarbiyah. That was the time that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was making tarbiyah of the sahabas. They were coming into the fold of Islam and there was a need for tarbiyah. Therefore we have to understand that those few sins that we find attributed to some sahabi or the other, those were during the time of tarbiyah. We will never find sahabi committing zina after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that one or two incident, it was to set the example that what will be the punishment, what will be the hudud, etc., etc. So during the period of tarbiyah, certain things happened. Now this sahabi, now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saw that this is his weakness, that he becomes temperamental. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam three times repeated the same nasihat for him, that do not get angry. In the same way here, this sahabi, Hazrat Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make nasihat, give me some nasihat, give me some advice. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him such a nasihat and such an advice, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in the least amount of words, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that was his mojaza, that he was Jawami'ul Kalim, that the few words used to encompass so much. It was an ocean in a teacup. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, just few words and you can have an ocean in that. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told this sahabi, Hazrat Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, Alayka bi taqwa Allah. Adopt taqwa in your life. Now just in one word, that was sufficient. After that there was no need for anything more than that. But he said, adopt taqwa in your life. Fa innahu ra'asul amri kulli. It is the root of all virtuous deeds. Allah. That once taqwa will come in the heart, then it will be the root of all virtuous deeds. Because this person who has got khawfe khuda in his heart, this person who is conscious of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's presence, this person who knows that there is a day of judgment on which day I will have to account for all my deeds and actions. In this world, if I get away from the police and if I get away from the sight and the gaze of the people and I commit sins, then I haven't escaped. The person who knows that there is a day of judgment, then this person, when he believes very firmly in this, then his eyes will see right, his ears will listen correctly, his tongue will speak only that which will be haqq, and that which will be useful, and that which will be beneficial, and that which will be pleasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. His hands will only touch those things that are permissible for him to touch. His feet will only walk to those places where it is permissible for him to walk. Because he has got taqwa in his heart, so every part of his body now is functioning properly. So this is the reason that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Alayka bi taqwa Allah. Because when this person has got taqwa, then his namaz comes right, his zakat comes right, his fasting comes right, everything comes right. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Alayka bi taqwa Allah. Fa innahu ra'asul amri kulli. Because that is the root of all virtuous deeds. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Alayka bi tilawatil Qur'an. فَإِنَّهُ نُورُ لَكَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَزُخْرُ لَكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that عَلَيْكَ بِتِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ فَإِنَّهُ نُورُ لَكَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And then make it incumbent upon yourself to recite the Quran Sharif in abundance. And the Sahaba ikram Ridwanullah alayhi majmain, they understood it to mean that they must recite the Quran Sharif, they must understand the Quran Sharif, and they must make amal on the Quran Sharif. It was not only for the purpose of sawab. There are two extremes. One extreme is that there's no need to read and there's no sense in reading na'uzubillah if you do not understand the Quran Sharif. If that was the case, the Quran Sharif would not have been preserved, because in the month of Ramadan, the billions or millions of Quran Sharif which are made khatam of by our elderly mothers and sisters and little children, they don't understand anything about the Quran Sharif. But yet, it is a means of preservation of the Quran Sharif that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept reward on the recitation of every word of the Quran Sharif. So Nabi alayhi salam, so that is one extreme, that there is no need to recite if you don't understand. And the other extreme is that you must only recite for the sake of sawab. Now that is another extreme, because the Quran Sharif was not only for the purpose of sawab. It was there so that we may make amal on that Quran Sharif. If a person just reads it and does not make any amal on it, then it is not going to benefit him. If a doctor has given a prescription to a patient and the patient takes that prescription and frames it, he buys a gold frame and he has it written also in gold, and thereafter he frames it and he keeps looking at it, admiring it and telling everybody that I've got the best prescription in the world for this sickness and this disease, will it help that person until he does not take that prescription himself? So in the same way, this Quran Sharif was meant to be understood and made amal on. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, عَلَيْكَ بِتِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ فَإِنَّهُ نُورٌ لَكَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَزُخْرٌ لَكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. It will be a means of light on this earth for you and provision in the hereafter or in the heavens. The thing is that if the Quran Sharif is there, then it is going to be light for him. It will be direction for him. In every aspect of his life, it is going to give him guidance that how must he make amal on this or on that. It is like in the darkness of the night. It's very, very dark. And if the person has got a very beautiful car, he's got a very beautiful car, and it's a brand new car, and it's filled also with plenty of petrol, it's got plenty of fuel in there, but there's no lights. So this person is going to meet up with accidents. He needs light to see his way through. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept this Quran Sharif the light by means of which this person can now see in which direction he is going. Is he going in the direction of Jannat or is he going in the direction of hell? Is he going in the direction of ilm or is he going in the direction of ignorance and jahalat? Which direction is he going? Is he going in the direction that is pleasing to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or is he going in the direction that is displeasing to Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So this Quran Sharif tilawat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that make it lazim upon you, because it is nurul laka fil ard wa zukhrul laka fis sama. But the first part of it which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned was alayka bi taqwa Allah. So we can see what great benefit there was in this taqwa, for which reason Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam prescribed it. Again, if we look at another hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, one of his companions, Hazrat Muaz bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was dispatching him to Yemen as a governor. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was walking on the side of the camel or the horse, and Hazrat Muaz ibn Jabal was sitting, he was mounted. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sending him off, so he was giving him some nasihat and sending him off. But then suddenly Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said such a thing that brought tears to the eyes of Hazrat Muaz bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Because we do not know what kind of love they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We cannot even imagine the kind of love that they had. Read the incidents in the books of hadith and read about the love of the sahabas for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then only we can understand. So as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told Hazrat Muaz ibn Jabal that probably next year when you come, you will not meet me. He said, next year if you come, you may not meet me. You may pass by my masjid and you may pass by my roza, by my qabr. So imagine what would have gone through the mind of Hazrat Muaz ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala an, because they were ashiks of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And to even imagine that next year when he comes from there, he will not be able to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What must have gone in his heart? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, seeing the tears in the eyes of Hazrat Muaz bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, immediately turned his face away towards Madina Sharif, because he was seeing him off from Madina Sharif. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam straight away turned his face towards Madina Sharif, showing that he himself understood that Hazrat Muaz cannot take my separation. And now if he is going to look at my face, then it will break him even further. And he knew very well that the Sahabas understood that if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has predicted or foretold something, then it is going to happen. Yes. It's not that it's not going to happen or there is a doubt in it. If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that you will not meet me, you will pass by my grave or you will pass by this masjid, then it is yaqeenan, there is no doubt in it that that is exactly what is going to happen. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, seeing this predicament of his beloved companion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that, O Muaz, I'm giving you the meaning. O Muaz, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be so concerned. You don't have to be so grieved. These are not the words of Rasul Pak, I'm giving you an explanation. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is consoling Hazrat Muaz radiallahu ta'ala an, that, O my beloved companion Muaz, I know how much of love you have for me. I know how much of desire you have to be in your heart to be with me all the time. And I know how much of desire you have in your heart to meet me again when you come next year. Allah. But you don't have to worry, O Muaz. The one closest to me on the day of Qiyamah will be the Muttaqoon. The people who have got taqwa, they will be the closest to me. Man kanu haythu kanu. Whoever that person is and wherever he may be, whether he is in Madina Sharif, whether he is in Yemen, whether he is in South Africa, whether he is in America or China, if that person has got taqwa in him, then he is close to me and he will be close to me, whoever he may be and wherever he may be. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, rahmat and mercy, that there was the situation was the concern of one sahabi. The concern was of Hazrat Muaz ibn Jabal, who was being dispatched. But look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, rahmat and mercy, that he included people right until the day of Qiyamah, each and every ummati of his, wherever he may be, whoever he may be, whether he is black or he is white, whether he is young or he is old, whether it's a woman or a male person, whether the person is rich or he is poor, whether he is a king or he is a beggar, whatever he may be, whoever he may be, wherever he may be, but if he's just got this one ingredient in him, and that is taqwa Allah, the khawf of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in his heart, which is restraining him from haram, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that person will be close to me. So it does not mean that if a person is standing at the roza of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he is close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Physically, his body could be close to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But when he is standing there with his shaven face, and he is saying, As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, then if in his lifetime Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam turned his face away from those people who were dispatched to arrest Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and yet they were not even believers, but it hurt Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So imagine if it's a believer, and he's a Muslim, and he's an ummati of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he is expressing his love also, that I have come here for your love, and he's standing right at the roza there, and he's standing in a condition that is not pleasing to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then physically he is there, but spiritually this person is very, very far away from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. People may be in Madina Sharif, but if they are indulging in haram there, if they are committing zina there, whether it is with their eyes, or whether it is with their ears, or it is with their hearts and mind, if they are committing zina and adultery, they are watching those filthy films on the television, and they are engaging in watching sports and all kinds of other filthy things on the television screen, in the foyers, in Madina Sharif and Makkah Sharif, then physically their body is there, but spiritually, according to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's hadith, they are far, far away. I'm expressing these things very, very openly, because this is a weakness of ours. We must go there. Nobody says we mustn't go there. It is full of barakat, full of rahmat, full of mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But we must make ourselves worthy of receiving it. Our reception must be clear. Our receiver must be right. Otherwise we will go there empty and come back empty. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, whoever this person may be and wherever he may be, but if he has got taqwa, then he is close to me. And if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says he is close to me, then we must believe that that person is close to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So this taqwa, this is another great virtue of it, that the person gets the closeness of Allah. If we look at the Quran Sharif, there are so many ayats, but especially something that is relevant to our times. Because all of us are complaining about the problems in the Middle East, and problems in Bosnia, and in Chechnya, and in Afghanistan, and in Africa, and in all parts of the world. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed the Quran Sharif upon him in this blessed month. And that is our guidance, that is that nur. We must look for that light in there, in that Quran Sharif. That what does the Quran Sharif tell us about these problems? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَلَا إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَدُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. Allah ta'ala says, if you adopt taqwa, if you adopt sabr and taqwa, in tasbiru wa tattaqu, two things. One is that you bring sabr in your life, and the other is that you bring taqwa in your life. Their planning, their scheming, and every mischief of this will not cause you any harm. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make the condition such that even if you end up with a battle, Allah ta'ala will send down the malaika as he sent down in the battle of Badr, which was on the 17th of Ramadan, that just 313, but they routed that army which was fully armed to the teeth of 1,000 people, and they were supported by so many other forces, but yet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent down his angels and gave victory to the Muslim Ummah, and it was a very decisive battle in the history of Islam. So it does not mean that Allah ta'ala, after he sent those angels in the battle of Badr, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was running out of ammunition and forces, or his angels after that all vanished and disappeared. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants us to make the effort. The jihad will take place. There is no question of jihad not taking place. There will still be jihad, there will be everything happening. But the Muslim Ummah will then not have to look at how much of arms they have got. They will not have to look at how much of people they have. They will not have to look at how much of military and navy and everything they have got. They will have to use whatever resources they have and go in. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because of their taqwa, Allah ta'ala says that the scheming and the planning of the enemies of Islam will cause you no harm, because Allah ta'ala will take it upon himself to see to it that there is victory for the Muslim ummah. But at present, when there is such a weakness in our taqwa, when there is no question of real making rujoo towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in our lives, when the whole of Ramadan seems to be going as if nothing really is happening, our lives have, styles haven't changed, we indulge in the same type of sins as we were indulging in before Ramadan, we haven't increased our ibadat, our zikr, our tilawat, our tawbah, our istighfar, then we cannot expect those promises that Allah Ta'ala has made to be fulfilled. Both things work together. We have to clap with both hands. We have to fulfill our side of the contract, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is willing and ever ready. In fact, Allah Ta'ala goes further than that we just have to make a little effort, and Allah Ta'ala draws us towards him with his power of jazm. So there are so many ayats. If you have to look at the barakat from the heavens and the earth, in risk and in sustenance, rain in abundance and all kinds of things, it is also promised on that same taqwa. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions very, very clearly that the people of the cities or villages, if only they had adopted taqwa, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Barakat not only of the earth, but even of the heavens, Allah Ta'ala is promising on this taqwa. And again I repeat, this taqwa is extremely easy and simple. But in everything, even if it is simple, there is a little effort that's required. To eat the food is very simple and easy. If a person has got good teeth, and then he can eat anything. But the thing is that for the preparation of that food, it takes a long time. Sometimes those women spend hours on the stove, and then we eat it in 5 minutes' time. But there is a preparation period that goes with it. And even in the eating, we have to do a little bit of movement of our jaws. To enjoy that food, there has to be a little bit of movement of the jaws. So there's just a little bit of effort that is required in restraining ourselves from haram. And Allah Ta'ala made this month of Ramadan for that purpose, that, oh my servants, you say that it is difficult for you to restrain yourself from haram, so I am restraining you from halal in this holy month from dawn till sunset. And when you can do that, when so many of you are doing that, and so easily you are doing it, and you can observe the fast for 16 hours and 18 hours, then what is it difficult for you to restrain yourself from that which is haram? 24 hours of the day, 365 days of the year, that which is haram, what is it difficult to restrain when you are restraining yourself from halal in this holy month? May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all this taqwa in our hearts. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala assist and help the Muslim ummah, just as he helped and assisted the ummah of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his Mubarak days. May he give us the tawfiq to develop in our hearts this taqwa, to restrain ourselves from haram, and to do everything that is pleasing to him and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.